Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to UFC Unfiltered. Matt is away, but he does call in. My co-host today is my pal, Luis J. Gomez. Ben Askren calls in, and we have a good time.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
I always like when you're listening to a radio show or whatever, and the opening theme plays two beats too long, that shows something is wrong. Like, and as the listener, you're hearing parts of the song you never heard before.
People just scrambling behind the scenes.
You're like, what the fuck's the matter with this? Charlie, cut! Charlie! Here's what's going on. Matt Serra is once again not here, gallivanting off, spending the Serra fortune with his family. Of course, he's with his wife and his lovely daughters and Edwin, the brother-in-law.
Yep.
I don't know how many, if they have any kids with his sister, I guess. I'm going to guess they do. So the Serras are kind of taking over Universal. And he's going to call in a little while. The original call-in time was not going to work because Matt's, busy. Or maybe he's just not in a quiet area.
Yeah, so he'll call in a little while. Or something.
He might be online for a ride or a hot dog, more likely than a ride. Luis J. Gomez is coming in. Luis is running a few minutes late. And, to break the fourth wall here, I know you guys like to believe we're doing this live, and we are, but we're a day early today.
Yeah.
It's the day before Thanksgiving. So by the time you're hearing this, it's Thanksgiving. But I'm taping this the day before. So if Jim Norton is killed tonight, you're hearing this like, wow, Jim's still alive. But then I heard he died. That's how it worked. So Luis J. Gomez is taking an Uber, which who the fuck takes an Uber the day before Thanksgiving? You can't pick a shittier day to drive.
Yeah, I got an email about a gridlock alert. I mean, it's just not a good day to be
on the road.
Right.
It's a horrible day to be everywhere, not just New York. But anywhere on the road stinks. I got to see my family tomorrow. I don't mean I got to in a bad way, but I'm not looking forward to the traffic.
Yeah, they're in Jersey.
Amy Schumer invited me to her house. She did last year, too. Her husband's a chef.
I was going to say, that's nice.
Cooks his balls off.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to go, but I really want to see my mom and dad. My dad fell. He has a black eye. Hope he's not a victim of elder abuse. I hope my mom's not kicking the shit out of my father.
Yeah.
Let me show you. I'll show you my dad's black eye. I guess he fell while he was running, and he fucked himself up pretty good. So, I had to look at my father's black eye. He got really fucked up.
Oh, it's like a real bad one, right?
Like road rash.
Shit, what, he fell on his face?
I know. It's like, dude, did he not put your hands up, Dad? It's like he just fell on his, instinctively, as he's falling, he took his hands and put them back behind his back. Like he's fucking swan diving. I hope it's not my mom beating him. I got to talk to them. And I'll see my sister, and I love my family very much. I just don't see them that much because I'm lazy and I hate to drive in traffic, but I got to go see them. So I'm talking to a friend of mine. I know her, but not that well. We've never hung out, but I like her a lot. We text and we talk, and she's a buddy, and we're not dating. We're just friends. She's very cute, but she's not going to date me.
Right.
But I might ask her to come with me to my family's, but it'd be so awkward.
Sure, yeah. I think that might be a little...
But I don't care.
Okay.
It'd be fun, like just to have someone to drive down with.
Right.
Let me talk text her and see what she says. While we're doing this...
Sure.
I will say... And Luis will be in shortly, by the way. He's just in...
Yeah, and Ben Askren later in the show. Which
Ben Askren and Matt Serra.
Awesome. Yes, and Matt Serra.
Do you want to come to me... Wait, do you want to come with me to my family's tomorrow? She's going to say no, but I just think it's very funny.
It's a very smooth text, too.
Do you want to come? This is what it says. Do you want to come to me? Wait, do you want to come with me? Oh, I really am a fucking fool. She'll say no, I can't, or I won't be awake. Do you want to come with me in my family's tomato? It said.
Yeah, send that.
Yeah.
See what she says.
I'll go either way by my, I'll go see my family tomorrow. I want to go to Amy's just because it's so, it's close. She lives in the city.
Right.
And her husband, did I say, is a chef.
Yeah, I mean, even if you go by for dessert, maybe stop by after dinner, see what's going on over there.
Yeah, but then I can't bring somebody who Amy doesn't know.
Right.
Because this girl's a comedy fan, and she's a really nice person, but it would just be, I'm actually writing, come with me to my family's tomorrow.
There you go. Lewis is on his way up right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm going to do is when Lewis walks in, I'm going to fake that I'm talking to Ben Askren.
Great. Perfect.
And then Lewis will walk in. I'll just be in the middle of a fake conversation with Ben Askren. What should I say that I'm asking him? I'll pretend I'm arguing with him.
Yeah, just be like, I don't know, maybe he's yelling at Dana or something.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I just can't wait to get this text back. Yeah, poor Lewis, he was panicking. It's like, yeah, it happens. I have a check here for Lewis, too. He did the Chip Chipperson podcast. He was very good.
Oh, very nice.
So I owe him money.
Yeah, we did this with Matt. I forget who we were talking to, or you were pretending to talk to.
Tony Ferguson.
No. But I mean, we did another one where it was Stipe was supposed to call in or something, and then Matt sat down.
Just tell him to just jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see if he does. I mean, you know, Lewis knows MMA. He does the Michael Bisping. I haven't talked to him since his fight on the air. Why am I whispering?
I don't know.
I want a sexy vibe when Lewis walks in.
Yeah, that's right. He actually won that fight.
Good for Lewis. A decision, I think.
Yep.
Which is even more impressive than a knockout, because that means you fought well for a couple of rounds.
Sure.
Lewis is a big kid. You know, he's not a small guy.
No, he took it seriously. I mean, he really trained for that. And he was hurt a little bit going into that fight, too.
Was he?
Yeah, when he came in, he'd said his hand was messed up from training a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. But just tell him he can just come in and walk right in.
Yeah, I told them outside to just let him in when he comes in.
When he wants to walk in, just say, hey, you know, come in and just jump into the interview. No, I did this. Come with me to my family's tomorrow? ? That was that looks pathetic. I'll put forget the ? Oh, God, that's humiliating. God damn it. Shit. All right, I fucked up, folks.
Yeah, you seeded ground there.
It seems so pathetic. Come with me to my family's tomorrow? It's too tentative and wimpy.
Yeah.
She's going to go, what the fuck are you doing? I don't even know you. Never hung out with you.
just be like, never mind, then write it again with an exclamation
just
point.
Just tired of my parents thinking I'm gay. Knowing.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring her as a beard. Just hang out with me. Just pretend you like me. But no, sometimes you just want to do something with someone.
Yeah,
like drive down with someone. And I love my parents. It's fun to see them.
Yeah.
But the drive sucks. And I'm tired of doing it alone.
Listen, I hear you.
You know? Hey, look, your confidence is important. Sometimes one change can make all the difference. You're walking around feeling like a lump. One little change. Hair Club knows this. And they're inviting you to become a part of the Hair Club family to see how getting the most out of your hair can change your life. Nobody ever feels worse with more hair. You've never heard anybody say, what you look so down for? I have more hair than I used to. It's always when you're losing your hair. They understand the emotions you're feeling now, and they know the questions you have. Hair Club is the leader in total hair solutions with a legacy of success for over 40 years. Now, whether you're looking to revitalize the growth in your own hair or to learn more about the latest proven methods for hair replacement or restoration, Hair Club's professionally trained stylists, health experts, and consultants will craft a personalized solution to ensure you feel your best and get the most out of your hair. See for yourself just how powerful great hair can be. Now, I've not lost a lot of my hair, but it's thinning. It's thinning a little bit, and you notice it. I notice it. I only hang out with people under 5'7". I don't want anybody taller than me looking down at my stupid hair that's not as thick as it used to be. So it does affect you emotionally. It does affect your emotions. Men feel better when they have more hair. I'm sure women do too. Go to hairclub.com/unfiltered today for a free hair analysis and a free take-home hair care kit, all valued at over $300. You have nothing to lose by doing this. hairclub.com/unfiltered, a free hair analysis and a free hair health care kit, hairclub.com/unfiltered. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
But it's the trade obviously was huge, and you for Demetrius Johnson. Did you feel like this was going to happen before it happened, or was this a total shock to you? Yeah, Luis J. Gomez has just walked in.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. I was just faking that I was talking to Ben Askren. I'm not.
Oh, you cocksucker.
You didn't miss it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's really funny. You really got me.
Did I really? You thought I was talking to Ben?
I was like, what a weird way to for me to sit down. I was like, hi, Ben. You got great hair.
He sure does have a good head of hair.
Got a great head
good
of hair.
Good call, Lewis.
And he's
check from the Chip podcast, by
ooh,
the way.
Ooh, yay. Are we on right now?
Yes, we are.
Good.
But okay. We just started, and here's what you've missed. And I know pre-Thanksgiving traffic is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
The fact that you took an Uber is insanity, but I guess
I got out at 3rd Avenue. I just walked the rest of the way.
Oh, you did?
No way. Yeah, that's why I got here a few minutes early, because it said 12:30, but then I was like, if I walk this, it's like getting across town was crazy. But, I'm officially in anger management, Jim, and what I've learned
you went to class?
Not class. I do private, therapy, but with anger management in mind, because I turn into a lunatic sometimes, especially when I'm running late. That's when I'm most stressed out. That's my big trigger. So I'm good. Like literally, I was like, what? What's the worst that could happen? You're a little bit late. Jim's not going to fucking beat me up. Matt Sarah's not here.
Jim can't beat me up.
Right. You worry about Matt.
You're a legit MMA fighter. What am I going to do?
No, stop it.
Fucking
I am not.
Punch you in the dick?
I am not at all. But weren't you supposed to start jiu-jitsu classes last
time?
Yeah, but
you said it's funny. I still plan on doing it. I was talking to somebody about that yesterday. I might start. Jimmy Rivera had gotten in touch with me, and he has a place not far from me. And I'm like, I might take that because it's on my way home every day. I see it, and then start with that, and then maybe do jiu-jitsu. I want to change my schedule up a little because I've gotten too much in a fucking routine. But how is anger management working for you? Is it better? Does it actually help?
Yeah, it really does. Well,
it's toxic.
It's because I'm holding myself accountable now. So what happens is when I start to blow up a little bit, I start to go like, wait a minute, I'm gonna have to talk about this. I'm thinking about it more. And that's it. I think we're comics, and I'm sure fighters are too. It's even crazier as a fighter because you hear about all this crazy shit where people blow up. And I know it's a big story right now where the one chick's, husband beat her up. We're not really held accountable much. When you're your own boss,
right?
It's a different type of thing. You do sort of have to create checks and balances for yourself. And I think as a comic, I wasn't doing that as much. So I'm getting into these fucking stupid arguments or whatever it is. And I get myself really worked up and, whatever. I got a kid. I'm just trying to overall be a better person.
Yeah,
so.
It's like you're hungover when you're done. Like the next day, there's those fucking weird like anger hangovers you get. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, that was fucking ugly. What am I doing?
Yeah.
What did I say? I don't even drink it. I say things. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is like it's always when I feel justified as well. Like I can just go off the handle, and then I'm like in my mind, I start to work myself up more. It's crazy. I start to like, I really do. I mean, I start to like, imagine it's like a very Puerto Rican old hood fucking thing that's in me where it's like I take disrespect very personally.
Sure.
Sort of like, you're disrespecting me, and then I'm like, you're disrespecting my family and my people,
my lineage,
my culture.
It's my shield.
It's psychotic.
Crest.
But I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to be overall trying to be better. So I'm sorry that I don't. Usually when I walk in late, because I'm late to everything, I'm usually like, I'm so sorry. I'm flustered. I run in. I throw my bag down. I'm sweating. But today I'm like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah, we know. I knew what it was. I mean, yeah. I was just teasing you for taking a fucking Uber on a day before Thanksgiving. By the way, the person you're talking about, Rachel Ostovich,
yeah,
and her husband Arnold Burden or Burden, I guess, is also
Burden
is an MMA fighter. And Chris said that he's being charged with attempted murder.
Whoa.
What the fuck was
so
going on?
War Machine shit.
Yeah, well, was it that? I read on TMZ. I mean, that's what they're reporting. So, yeah.
She's hot too, right? The girl?
I don't know.
She's a smoke show. Maybe the hottest female fighter. And I don't mean to be a pig, but, you know, I am.
Let me see what she.
She's a smoke show.
I've seen her fight. I just don't remember her. Yeah, she's very attractive. But what do you like? This is what I wonder about, like, in domestic violence situations. What? And I talked about this on Bruce Buffer's podcast yesterday. What the fuck are you doing that you like, first of all, if you're not shitty enough to not hit your wife, like, okay, you shouldn't be shitty and hit your wife. But like, how do you not even from a self-preservation point of view know this is going to ruin your life and her life? Like, what is happening that you throw that punch and you think that you're going to survive that and that's going to be a good move?
Well, I think it's because people that have like real fucked up anger issues, their line is in a different place. Like my line's in a different place than your line probably. This guy's line is in a different place. And, you know, what he's... you know, willing to do when he sees red. And I'm sure this is not the first time, you know, I don't think it's you don't beat the shit out of a chick to that capacity. I mean, I think her orbital bone was fractured, which is fucking crazy. You know, yeah, it's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
I wonder why the attempted murder charge. Is it because he's a professional fighter or did he hit her with something or is it just,
that could be a factor because it's, you know, it's like a deadly weapon type of thing. I mean,
an old timey tale. Like they were like, you know, I had to register my hands as
lethal weapons.
As lethal weapons, but they will take into account when they're charging you, when they're convicting you, that you are a fucking trained killer.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, an MMA fighter. Here's why I say this would be my defense. Why it's not attempted murder? Okay. Because,
and by the way, this is all alleged, you know, I mean,
of course, so look, I don't, you know, whatever, where there's smoke, there's fire, something happened here, right? This guy's probably a piece of shit. Maybe I'm just throwing him under the bus without, you know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Just in general, like, fine, if it comes out, I'll retract that. But it seems like this is what happened, right? But the reason I'll say not attempted murder is because I feel like an MMA fighter, a real trained MMA fighter, if he wants to kill you with his bare hands, he's going to do it. There's not like, and I'm sure she's unbelievable, but I don't think she could defend herself against a dude. I don't know his caliber of fighting.
I think is he bantamweight or?
That I can look. I mean, he's 7-2, so it's like.
Was he UFC?
No, he never.
What does he fight? I want to say he fights 135.
He's not UFC though.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, look, if Michael Bisping wanted to kill me or you.
Sure.
Or Matt Sarah just wanted to kill us. It would be a matter of a minute or two before we would be dead, literally dead, because they could just choke us unconscious and then they could kill us with their bare hands. It wouldn't be a difficult thing. So I feel like if this guy really wanted to kill his wife, if that's the charge, I think he probably could have gotten the job done. He could choke her unconscious and then at that point you do what you do.
But there may be a certain threshold you cross. Like if you do certain things, it's just considered, like if you hit somebody with if you strike somebody with an object to a certain, who the fuck knows?
Or if they're unconscious and you're still striking them or some shit like that. Like, I mean, horrifying. Fuck it. Throw the book at him. I'm just saying, like, I always think of that because me and Bisping talked about it on our show, the Believe in Me podcast.
But you guys still doing that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're
I love Bisping.
He's the man.
I really
love
Bisping.
He's the fucking man. One of the funniest people in the world. Such a good dude. But we talked about it on the show, like, if he wanted to. Just an average man. Like, there's so many different ways about it. But the easiest way, they could just choke you unconscious pretty easily.
Stop.
And then, yeah, just keep going.
Just keep choking.
It's over. Right. And I mean, what do you do? It's over.
Did you see it? Any more details?
Yeah, he's a bantamweight. And yeah, he was arrested on a attempted murder charge.
Maybe that was a...
Can I see what he looks like?
Sure.
You can always see the look in a person's face if they're a piece of shit. Maybe that's just crazy.
Because like, you know something happened? Like, what would you have said yesterday? Like, who knows? 2 days ago.
He's got a fucking...
You never can tell...
Oh, this guy?
No, no different than any other fighter.
Yeah, he looks like a Puerto Rican.
Is he Puerto Rican?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Arnold Burdon.
I'm not sure. They're from Hawaii. I mean, I know they live in Hawaii.
Literally no different face. Like, I look at that face, I don't see any difference in, like, any other fighter's face.
Yeah, you wouldn't guess.
You're right. But, you know, that's crazy. But she is, she's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. What's her record?
She's 1-1 in the UFC. She was on The Ultimate Fighter. 4-4 overall.
Yeah. I think you hear about it happening in MMA, and it's just an it's a story that's easy to sell, right? So these people are in the media, but there are thousands of MMA fighters.
Sure.
And how often are MMA fighters beating the shit out of their wives or dealing with domestic abuse? I don't think it's going to be on much of a higher level than any other profession.
I would say it's probably a lower level than a lot of other professions. Like when you look, because these guys probably, at least the ones who know that, that anything they do is damaging physically.
Right.
Like I bet you there's a lot of other professions that have a much higher rate.
Oh, yeah.
I've only heard of a couple of instances of this happening, but like any other job, I mean, you get people that do that shit so often.
Yeah, it's a fucking sad thing, and, you know, I'm sure there are two sides to every story, and maybe, you know, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just a big, huge misunderstanding, and that didn't happen, but it doesn't look good, I'll tell you that.
No,
much.
It doesn't. What are you doing for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
I think I'm gonna go to my aunt's. I'm not a big fucking Thanksgiving.
But you and
guy.
Your girl will go?
Yeah, my chick's here. She, you know, her family's from Florida, so she's spending the you know, Thanksgiving with me. I'm actually in Houston Friday. I don't know if this comes out before then,
yep.
But yeah, I'll be in Houston Friday night at the Secret Group One show, 8 p.m. So if you guys are in Houston, come and check me out. But me and my chick are going down there on Friday, which I'm an idiot. I haven't bought tickets yet. I'm buying airline tickets on Thanksgiving week. The day after Thanksgiving, it's crazy.
Are you looking for, what are you going to Houston for, a gig?
Yeah, a gig.
Oh, okay, you just said that, yeah. So I'm thinking, like, why don't you buy tickets today?
I'm going to. I just keep on putting it off. I have horrible ADD, so I just keep on putting it off. And I looked this morning, they're $800 each now.
Well, maybe you get a Black Friday sale or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you look, I want to know how much Lewis is going to pay for tickets to Houston day of. The day after, cause the day after Thanksgiving is a good day to fly, because a lot of people are already where they're going.
I'll do it. I'll do a red eye on Thanksgiving that night. That would be good.
I did that once to Vegas when I used to tour with Dice.
Yeah.
I remember on Thanksgiving one time, my family dropped me at Newark Airport, and I flew out, and Dice, Kenny, and Happy Face were meeting me the next day. So I went out Thanksgiving alone. Thanksgiving night, probably landed around 9 p.m. and called this girl that I used to see out in Vegas. It was like 1998.
Yeah,
I was all by myself in the hotel. I felt like such a big boy. I knew I could misbehave. I had my Toshiba laptop, 6 gigs. First time Dice saw it, his kid was in the car with us in the back of the limo, and he goes, "Move your typewriter," because he wanted someone to lay down. He didn't feel like fucking Dice didn't know what a laptop was. Sure. Move your typewriter.
Yeah.
So I'm single, so I don't know what to, I got to see my family tomorrow. And I might ask this female friend of mine to go with me just because I don't like travel. I'm sick of going alone.
I notice that a lot, Jim. I see on your Instagram you'll be on a date with a female companion friend. Maybe not even a date, maybe a friend, whatever it is.
Ex is my closest friend. My ex from years ago, I see her all the time. She's my closest friend. So I spend a lot of time with her when I go to LA or she comes to New York. But we haven't fucked.
You just like companionship from women, which is crazy to me.
If you're not
fucking
them,
I'm like, really?
It's after a while of like, being in a relationship would be nice, and I'm kind of at that point. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind one, but if I don't have one, it's like if I'm going to hang out with a guy, I'm going to hang out with a woman. Like, I'd rather just hang out with a woman sometimes. Yeah. I'm around fucking guys all the time.
Or you can hang out with both. I've heard.
Oh, I've done.
I've heard your
times,
morning
but
show,
that's, but that's for marriage. I'm not ready to get married yet. But this woman's a friend of mine. I just texted her and asked her to go to it. I've never hung out with her.
Okay.
I know her. I met her and we've texted a bunch, but I'm like, fuck it, just do this with me.
How do you meet women? Is it fans?
Instagram. This happened to be at the Comedy Cellar. You know how it is, dude. I know what I bring to the table. It's a fucking, it's a nice apartment, and I'm funny. I don't have my physique, my fucking dick.
Do you get not upset, but do you almost go like when you know a chick is only into you because you're successful, you know you have a career, you're somewhat famous. Does that bother you at all?
No, it makes me thank God I made this decision when I was 21.
Right.
I'm a fucking 5. Thank God. If I can pick up an 8, a 25-year-old 8, good for me.
You have the same posture as the number 5 as well.
Yeah, I really am. I mean,
that's when you sit down, he looks like the number 5.
I do, and that's one more thing I don't bring to the table is a man they can feel confident with. That is true. I got to work on my posture. I'm going to sit up.
I'm the same way.
It's hard.
It's fucking... There's something about it. People like hate on like, oh, what she's a gold digger. Or I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, if a man is successful, if he's funny, these are all like things that are extremely attractive qualities. Why is there like a disconnect from that? Why do you have to just be attracted to his dick? What do you want the woman to be attracted to?
Right.
His cock. That's it. Like his.
His face?
His shitty personality, his lack of money. If somebody has their shit together, I'm attracted to a woman who has her shit more together, who's a little bit more successful. As I've gotten older, you know, if you're attracted to, like, a person who's broke, you're probably broken a little bit, too. There's something about you that's a little bit fucked up, because your instinct should be to be as successful as possible, to get as far as possible in life. Now, obviously, you still should like their personality and the way they look and like spending time with them, but having those other variables, I think, should be important to a person.
Yeah, I agree, and I also have to look at my thing. Like, what do I think? I'm not shallow. Like, if I'm talking to somebody who's 25 and good looking, what am I? I'm looking at her fucking only a person. No, she's got what I want on the outside too.
Of course.
So it's like I know what I bring to the table. Yeah, I'm okay looking, but I'm a good person. I'm funny, but yeah, come on. I mean, I'm not a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That's why I got into this job, so I could meet girls.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna cry because I'm 50 and I'll, oh no, the 25-year-old. You mean it's not my abs, which I don't have. If life was fair, she'd be fucking some guy with a fucking thing tattooed on his chest. She shouldn't be fucking me.
That's the only time that I feel bad is if I'm fucking a really hot chick and like I'm on top of her and then like I see a mirror and I see
my gross worst. Ass
just fucking.
I'm the worst. My gut hanging over, my fucking Sabbath t-shirt on.
It was 69 with a chick, and then like I'm like, and then I kind of look down and see my stomach meat just hanging in her face, and I know her angle to 69 with me. I mean, God bless your soul.
Yeah.
God bless your soul. The angle that they get of all that fucking grossness.
I'll only do it if they're eating my ass.
Sure.
No, I like to be on the bottom when I'm 69 for that reason, for that exact reason.
Of course.
I don't want my stupid gut hanging all over. It's humiliating.
Yeah, I'm going to give Ben Askren a call. And just so you know, Lewis, if you're going to fly Friday, let's say a 6 a.m. flight on Delta, that's going to be about 661, 660.
Round trip?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was 800 this morning.
That's on Thanksgiving Day. No, it looks like 6.
Wait, Thanksgiving Day at 6 in the morning.
Day after Thanksgiving. I'm saying on Thanksgiving Day, it'd be like in the 800
range. No, it was 800 this morning, and I'm glad I didn't book it, because now it's 661. I just saved some dough.
How many stops?
No, that's round trip.
And when do I come back?
January 8th. Yeah. You have to fucking move to Houston.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to check.
Wait, what do you mean, have to check? That's obviously not the ticket price.
That's one way.
Oh, no, but it says round trip, though. I didn't select the other
return
way,
date.
But
yeah. I got to come back Sunday, I believe, but I'll see on Monday. Whatever.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our friends over at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It is an extremely stressful but important purchase, and it's one of the biggest events of your life. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, credit. They give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They're going to lock your interest rate up for 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you've found it, if interest rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, here's the beauty. You get to keep the lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-day purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. And I'm going to be at Caroline's, by the way, Friday and Saturday, two shows each night. So if you want to see me, come see me at Caroline's. If you don't, I get it.
No.
I don't blame you.
It has been going. You touring a lot?
You know, I'm wrapping up. I had the Chip podcast December 7th. I'm doing that in Philly.
I had so much fun doing that. That's what this check is for. I'm excited to deposit it.
Good, buddy.
Yeah,
it was fun, right?
It was so much fun, dude. Go see Chip live. It's just silly.
It is.
And it's because it's a character. You get away with so much more stuff than stand-up comics get away with. Yeah. Than, you know, even podcasters at this point, they're starting to fucking hold accountable for stupid shit we say. So
We have Ben on the phone.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Ben. How you doing? You're talking to Jim Norton and Luis J. Gomez. Matt is in Florida with his family. How's it going?
I'm doing well.
Where are you right now? Are you in Milwaukee?
Yep. Just outside Milwaukee, but yeah.
Okay. And how did you get hooked up with One? How long did you fight for those guys?
One Championship? Are we live on the interview? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I actually went on a trip to Singapore in 2012, and I met Chaudhry. And we kind of hit it off, and then obviously I had the free agent negotiation period in 2013, and I ended up over in one, and I was there for 4 years.
Now, did you live over there at all, or were you still coming back to Milwaukee?
No, I didn't. I didn't live over there. I have a family, so that would have been really hard. I would spend about 2 to 3 weeks at a time over there. I mean, a couple times, it was even more if I had to do like a press tour or something. So I got to see a lot of Asia. My family got to go a few times. It was a really good experience.
When you're fighting there, are you thinking in the back of your mind at all, like, I would love to get in the UFC? I mean, because there's such a great viewership there, too. I mean, that's a huge, huge company. So it's not like there was nobody watching you fight.
Yeah, no, they have their platform is gigantic. I really enjoyed my time there. And so, you know what, in my life, and most people, if they want to be happy, you deal in the here and the now, right? You don't deal with all those hypotheticals of what could happen or where you could be or anything else. If you tend to do that, your life's going to be pretty miserable. I mean, sure. Think about it. Like, what if you have a wife and you're like, well, if I just had that lady as my wife, I would be so much better off, right? Because I'm not going to be happy.
Yes, but I mean, that's probably what I'll do if I get married, though.
I deal in the here and the now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how big of a show was 1FC? Because that's something that's sort of lost on us, I feel like. Because UFC is obviously the big show. We've watched you fight in Bellator. But did it feel like you were fighting in this huge thing while you were there?
Yeah, no, it's really big. Obviously Americans are very American-centric. There's 4 billion people in 2 time zones over there between Japan, China, Korea, India, all everything that's encompassed over there in Asia. And I never fought in less than a sold-out arena. I mean, they were selling out Mall of Asia Arena, 20,000 seats. The arena in Singapore, 15,000 seats. So, yeah, I mean, every single time I fought, it was a sold-out arena. It was a huge show. It was a really big deal. When I was out on the streets, everyone recognized me. It's almost otherworldly, right? I come from Milwaukee, and then I go to Shanghai, and everyone stopped me asking to take a picture. It's like, whoa, how did this freaking happen? This is really bizarre.
And they must have really, because in Asia, they have a real appreciation for martial arts and fighting styles. So over there, they must have, like in Brazil, they appreciate the jiu-jitsu a lot of times. Things that they'll boo in Vegas because 2 guys are on the ground for a little while, they'll actually appreciate when you're in Brazil. So it must have been that way in Asia.
They don't have as much of an understanding of jiu-jitsu and wrestling. There's not really, Japan's pretty strong wrestling. Any other strong wrestling countries over there. And so, that was a little bit lost. And if you watch their fights, there's not a lot of strong wrestlers in that organization. But, man, the fan, I was always told when I went over there, because I was a pretty big in the 90s, when you go over there, the fans are going to be quiet. And I think that is really specific just to Japan, because I never experienced that. It always felt like a normal, loud, rowdy crowd every single time I fought.
Now, what is your relationship with Tyron? I mean, because you said you would never fight Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we were, I was close friends since 18 when I went to college. He was, a sophomore maybe or something like that. And we were team captains together for a couple years at Missouri. And then we've remained close ever since then. All the way to, he does a lot of his training camps here in Milwaukee, and I spend a lot of time training with him. And so, yeah, just, I always say, it's like, I have all these dudes I don't like. What's the point in fighting him?
You guys, by the way, I don't know if you know Jim, but Greg Warren.
Greg Warren, yeah, Greg baby, Warren. That's a Mizzou wrestler right there.
Yeah, they were. Were you guys team? I interviewed you a very, very long time ago, and Tyron Woodley a very long time ago, Greg Warren hooked me up with your contact, and he's a great comic from New York. Did you guys wrestle together on the same team? What was that?
Who, Greg?
Yeah.
Greg, I'm not going to time him out or nothing, but Greg's a few years older than us.
No, I know he is. I was going to say, how did the connection come? Yeah, because he wasn't your coach, right? Well, how did he know you guys?
No, Greg would just come around, and there was a comedy club in Columbia called Deja Vu, and so, he would stop in twice a year when he was in St. Louis or whatever. He did some fundraising stuff for moving. He would come by and do comedy, and he was, the wrestling programs are really tight knit, and the alumni come back and you see him around. So obviously he's a super awesome guy, so everyone likes him, and so we've got to kind of know him through that. And then now it's like he travels so much, I'll just like randomly, he was like in my small town in Wisconsin like a year ago, and you know, we went out and got lunch or dinner or whatever it was.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I mean, the relationship with Tyron, though, but what do you do there? I mean, you're obviously coming in with this monumental deal. They traded, you know, Demetrius who's, you know, been with the company forever, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. You're undefeated. There's so much value. You're coming in, making a lot of noise in the division, calling out a lot of people. People are very excited to watch you fight. But what's the end result here? There might be a time where they put that title shot right in front of you. Are you hoping that your friend loses, or are you willing to move up, or are you willing to move down?
No, why would I hope my friend loses? That's idiotic. I think there's a whole bunch of things that can happen here that don't include me fighting Tyron. You know, number one, if I just get to be with a bunch of these jackasses that are in the welterweight division, I'm perfectly happy and I make a lot of money, so my life's great. If GSP comes back, I love that. If they make 65 and 75, I love that. If I fight Khabib at a catchweight, I love that. So, man, I got a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, I think DC has said the one guy he would never fight is Kane at heavyweight. So a lot of guys have that one guy that they just don't ever want to have to go up against. And I know Robbie Lawler has been spoken about for you. I think Dana did confirm that, but the UFC has not made the announcement. So I guess you are fighting Lawler.
I'm not really sure why they have not made the announcement. As far as I know, it's a done deal.
Do you have any idea when and where you guys are fighting?
Yeah, it's January 26th in Anaheim.
Oh, okay. And, you know, obviously Colby Covington is probably next in line for a shot at Tyron. He probably should be because he had the interim belt. I know you guys don't particularly like each other. And he said about you, he said you're you know, he calls everybody a virgin.
I know. It's a really bad gimmick. It's very mm-hmm. like you.
It is kind of silly, but if he wins, I mean, would you after one or two fights be you'd probably like to get a shot at him?
Shot, I'd get the shot right away. But he's not beating Tyron, so I mean, we might as well not talk about stupid hypotheticals.
yeah,
well, that's just impossible. That's just not happening.
I mean, is that something that's sort of how close do you feel as if the UFC would give you a title shot? Because with Robbie Lawler being a former champion, legend in the sport, I mean, it seems like
And Tyron were to tear his ACL and MCL and his Achilles and then fall over and somehow Colby won by injury before the fight even started or something. You know, if something like that were to happen, because Colby's not beating Tyron, let's just be clear about that, then I would be next to fight Colby, obviously. That's just such a simple fight to make. I beat him up easy. I make fun of him. And everybody's happy.
Essentially, you're talking about a lot of other opportunities, a lot of other fights. How important is UFC gold to you? Is that something that's like a huge goal of yours, or are you just trying to, you know, make the most out of the opportunity with the UFC?
I guess I would like my answer from earlier. If it happens, it happens. If I get the opportunity, great. But there's a lot of things I think I can do to prove how good I am without having that opportunity.
And the welterweight over in one is 185, so you're going to be...
Well, yeah, they do it a little different. So you can't cut water weight over there. So when you weigh in, you have to do both on the scale and you have to do a hydration test. And so, I think that's the way everybody should go. I think it's super fair. I think it's probably the best way to do it. So when they did that, when they went to that system, they just bumped... Literally everybody in the organization went up a weight class.
So if you fight at 185 over there and you're not cutting water weight, what do you walk around about normally, like a week or two before the fight?
So my walk around weight for weighing 170 and my walk around weight for making their 185 was the exact same. I'd walk around between 183 and 185. I do in the last 24 hours, I cut that 13 to 15 pounds of water weight. I cut that in the last 24 hours. And so it was literally no change for me, except I didn't have to do the miserable water weight cut for the last 24 hours.
And how much of a detriment do you feel like that? Going into the ring when you have to do that crazy cut, how much of that do you feel affects your performance in the cage?
Well, it's actually a benefit to me because I'm tougher than everyone else, and I'm more disciplined than them. So I'm going to do the weight cut right. I'm going to do it effectively, and I'm going to perform really well. Most other people are going to do something stupid and dumb, and so it's going to be a net negative to me, but I think it's probably the most fair way to do it, so that's how they should do it.
When is the last time you had to cut that much weight?
Well, they when did they institute the water weight policy? I don't know. Maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
Whatever they, I don't recall when they instituted it. But it was because yeah. So maybe 2 years ish.
Okay, so you have no problem, you know, cutting down and then bulking back up day of the fight.
Well, no, it's just water weight. It's really simple.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a couple of names. Now, you mentioned Khabib possibly at a catch weight. Dana has said that there's no plans to create a 165. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. Find out.
But you're willing to do it?
Well, I mean, whatever it is, you can't trust everything Dana says. I mean, if we literally, Dana said women are never fighting in the UFC. I mean, right? I mean, can we really believe everything he says? Come on.
Well, that's my next question. Okay.
Are you still blocked?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Did Dana finally unblock you?
It took a while, but yes, he did.
What did he block you for? What did you say to him that he blocked you for?
Frankly, I don't even recall. I mean, the initial argument between myself and him, which was kind of the start of everything, was that he said you couldn't do drug testing. It's impossible. You can't do it. And I said, well, there's actually this organization called USADA who tests all Olympic athletes all over the world. So it's 100% possible. If you want to count all the Olympic sports, there's significantly more athletes than that than there is in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And now the obvious issue is it costs a lot of money to do that. And so, well, let's just be honest. Let's just say, hey, I don't want to do it because it costs too much, which is, that's the truth. But instead, he called me a bunch of names. And I think that was the start of it. And so, obviously, now we're, 6 years removed from that. And there's, the USADA is alive and well. And I think it's made the USADA, the UFC a much safer and much more fair place. And so I'm very happy that it was instituted.
And Demetrius obviously goes over there. You come over here. How did you first hear about this? Was this something that got floated and then you're like, that's ridiculous, that'll never happen? Or was this something that was really close to being done by the time you even spoke about it?
No, they asked. Hey, they said, hey, are you okay with this? I said, yeah, of course, but that's not very realistic. That's not going to happen, you know? And then they called me back like 3 weeks later and said, oh, yeah, it's done. I'm like, seriously? Like, you guys aren't just messing with me? And then, I'm going to take a few more weeks to get the paperwork done and get the announcement done. So, but very, very exciting, awesome, something I didn't think would ever happen. So I don't think it was on anyone's radar, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you have an opportunity to become, you know, one of the biggest fighters in the world because you have, a huge fan base in Asia. And now you're going to come to the UFC and get the exposure through the UFC. I was talking to Bisping about this. I did a podcast with Michael Bisping, and there's a couple guys that are out there right now that are undefeated, that are high, high, high level guys. Whereas it's been a while since we've seen that. Usually when guys get to this level, they've dealt with a few losses. Are there nerves coming into the UFC because of what is perceived as the obvious jump in competition and the guys you're going to be fighting now? Or is there any sort of, or is this another day at the office?
No, it's another day at the office. No one who changes the way they perform based on the crowd ever does very well. And so peak performance, you guys are comedians. Whether you're doing a show for your buddies or you're doing a show for 5,000 people, if you say, oh my God, there's 5,000 people out there, you're going to perform like shit. And so, the same thing goes for fighting, regardless, there's one person in the octagon. It's like, I'm going to beat up 3 people now, right? It's the same thing. It's me, another person locked in the octagon. I got to go beat them up. So it's literally the exact same thing. And so no, it's business as usual. I'm going to go and execute the game plan that I'm planning on doing.
You know, I mean, Robbie Lawler likes to stand up and throw. I mean, everybody knows he's one of the toughest guys in the UFC. I think you're a tougher matchup for Robbie Lawler. But, you get guys also like Kamaru Usman or Damian Maia, I think would be very interesting matchups with you, which I would love to see you fight one of those guys if Robbie goes well for you.
Yeah, sure. And obviously, Maya's kind of, I enjoyed watching him because it was so interesting how he just kept implementing his style and it worked. But now it did end up catching up to him because I do believe he has 3 straight losses. So, but regardless, I respect the skill set. It's good. I just think that, I actually had to be Damian Maya when Tyron was getting ready for him. I was mocking and mimicking his style. And it was really frustrating because he he hasn't changed it up. He does the same thing over and over and over again. That kind of caught up to him. And then with Usman, he's fighting RDA. I think coming up here, like real quick, maybe like a couple weeks. And so, you know, obviously if he beats RDA, he's going to be vaulted into that upper echelon conversation. So, yeah. So I guess I am not here to pick my opponents. I'm here to beat people up.
Do you think that you mentioned Maia, because I've noticed that watching him fight too, is as great as he is, it does seem like he was kind of doing the same thing. And I stuck up for Tyron after that fight. I didn't think he got enough credit for stuffing, what was it, 26 consecutive takedown attempts against one of the best jiu-jitsu guys to ever fight?
He fought a perfect fight, basically, and people kind of gave him shit about it, but it's like, why, how are you
doing
something?
Well, I mean, he tore his labrum in the first round, so he can only throw punches with one hand also. So, you know, that often is kind of brushed under the rug as well. I mean, so not only did he stuff every single takedown, but he won the fight standing up with one hand.
Do you think that after a while, people figured out how to beat Damian Maia?
I mean, you obviously have to have a very specific skill set, which means you're good at wrestling. And that's, you know, obviously Tyron kind of showed everyone the game plan. And then after that, Colby and Usman were able to execute on the game plan that Tyron had kind of laid out for beating.
Who's the most exciting matchup for you outside of Robbie Lawler? Period. Forget everything else. Just who's the most exciting? If you could pick, and I know you said already you don't pick and choose your opponents.
Khabib, yeah. Because it's two guys who do the exact same thing who are both very, 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 very good at it. And people want to know who's the best at it. And I think that's a very intriguing matchup for many reasons.
Especially the stare down with your hair and his, you know, hat.
He's copying me.
So, and you think that would have to be done at 165?
Yeah, I can't. Well, I mean, I could do it wherever he wants. I just can't make 155. I mean, so I made 163 was my Olympic wrestling weight. And that was, I was on a very strict diet almost year round for that. So I couldn't foresee myself going any lower than that. That was kind of like really challenging for me to maintain that weight. But with my wrestling was set up, the weight class above that was 189. And so obviously you can see that that's like a huge jump from 163 to 189. So I had to commit to making 163, but 55 is definitely out of the question.
And now, did you grow up in Milwaukee? Where did you grow up?
Yes, I grew up in Wisconsin. I was at Milwaukee and then I was gone for roughly 10 years, and now I'm back.
Did you always want to fight or make your living somehow wrestling, or was that just something you did and then got an opportunity and it became your life?
I thought I was going to be a wrestler. I thought I was going to be a wrestling coach. I mean, when I was growing up, fighting didn't exist. And it wasn't a thing to do to make a living. You know, it was a thing the bad kids did on the playground.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot from guys who grew up wrestling. First of all, I hear it's the toughest thing in the world. Like, you know, comparatively, talk about that a little bit. Compare wrestling training to training as a professional mixed martial artist.
I think the thing that is, you know, so much more challenging is you have to make weight all the time, right? I mean, if you're in high school, college, geez, that's 120 times over the course of a few months. And then, you know, on top of that, say in a college wrestling room, you're competing with, you know, 30, 40 guys in the same room who are all very, very high level at what they do. And you don't really see that. There's no MMA camp that has as many skilled guys as, say, like Penn State, Ohio State, Missouri, Oklahoma State. And so you're not getting that day-in, day-out competition. And that's kind of, you know, the daily grind. And that's what makes so many wrestlers so tough, is mentally durable, that serves them so well once they move over to fighting.
You know, Justin Gaethje came in. He was undefeated. I want to say he was 15-0 or 14-0 when he came in. And he won his first fight, and he was kind of put up in the top five or six immediately. Even the fights he's lost, he's been very competitive in. He's fun to watch. So, I mean, obviously you're undefeated. You're 18-0-1. If you win this fight against Lawler, that you're probably going to be in a position to be maybe one or two fights away from a championship shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I really didn't expect much. You know, I just kind of made a... No, no, it's an interview. I should have asked you a question. I just kind of made a statement, and you're like, okay, yeah, I fucking heard you.
Oh, yeah, the sky is blue, the grass is green, Jim.
No, no, but I'm just so interested in the fact that him and Tyron are close, and it's like that could happen a lot before. So maybe, like you said, if you're willing to fight Khabib at a catchweight or do something like that to kind of avoid having to go against the guy, but if you're next in line for something like that... like
Yeah, but Khabib doesn't want none of that heat. What, you know, the reality is, think about this, where is it, you know, that is a, it's a really tough fight for Khabib. It's a bigger guy who does what he does, undefeated. Yeah. It's an uphill battle for Khabib. So unless you had a title or there was maybe a 165-pound title on the line, I wouldn't, if I
would
Khabib,
be a title shot, sure.
If I'm Khabib's manager, I'm saying no fucking way. There's no way. There's almost no benefit except for possibly handing you that title.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Well, yeah, he's also, I mean, he's got to fight Tony Ferguson next, and then maybe Conor or maybe not Conor. But, I mean, obviously you and him would be a big money fight, and I'm sure he wants big money fight.
But there are also fights that, and you'd mentioned GSP, which I think is a great fight, Ben. But there are other fights out there as well that are almost like the level of title shots in themselves in terms of what they do for you. Obviously Conor McGregor, obviously GSP. Nick Diaz just came back. I know you had mentioned, you had given a comment on Nick Diaz. How do you feel about Nick Diaz coming back? Are you a fan? Would you like to fight him one day?
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. Like I said, all comers. I'll beat them all up.
Do you feel any, and again, the fact is you're coming in highly regarded and highly thought of coming to UFC. A lot of guys come into the UFC quietly and they win a couple of fights and they build a reputation. You're kind of coming in already more famous than a lot of guys in the UFC. Does that make you feel more confident, or was there any additional pressure with that?
I don't think that the number of followers I have has anything to do with how good I am at fighting, although I think I'm good at fighting and I do have a lot of followers. So I think it'll help my ascendancy to title fighter to get those bigger fighters, because I know UFC pays attention to those metrics, whether that's warranted or not. I'm more of a, like I say, it's a pure competitive, like I enjoy the competitive aspect of it. But people enjoy my personality. They enjoy that I tell the truth. They enjoy that I speak plainly and I don't beat around the bush, and that I'm really just genuine. Like, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about Robbie Lawler. So I'm not going to fraudulently come up with something bad to say about him if I have to fight him.
Right.
Not, you know, I'm going to say, if I don't like Colby and I don't, I'm going to say it. If I think Nick Diaz is a dumb, I'm going to say it. But I'm not going to just create some kind of unnecessary beef just because I'm fighting someone. So I think people appreciate all those things about me.
Yeah, it's a combination of being... of saying, you know, obviously the right things and saying what people like to hear, but also being somewhat genuine. And you see the guys that do it that are a little bit more contrived, and then you see the other guys. I think another part of it as well is I think every man in the world can connect with the guy who doesn't back down. And when you and Dana White had that public beef, I think everyone just went, hey, you know what? Even though everyone, I love Dana White, I'm a huge fan of Dana White and what he's done for the sport, but everyone kind of goes, you know what, dude, I wish I could tell my boss or my potential boss to go fuck himself. And that thing, everyone goes, yeah, good for you, Ben.
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know what else? When it initially happened, he was kind of telling a lot of lies about me. And, you know, some people bought into it or didn't buy into it. But then as time wore on, it was unavoidable the fact that I was very, very skilled and good at what I do, and that there was really no other reason that I didn't get a shot in 2013 besides the fact that for whatever reason, and I'm still not really sure, that he didn't like me at that point in time.
And I think you're right, too, about being yourself and being honest, because when it's manufactured, it doesn't feel good to hear. It doesn't feel menacing when a guy manufactures shit. Like Chael Sonnen felt like legit, you know, or when Derek Lewis says something, it feels like it's really coming from Derek Lewis. It doesn't feel made up. So the fact that you're genuine and you're just an honest person, I mean, that works as well as somebody who talks shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons that Colby's not really catching on, and if you look, Colby's been in the UFC for 4 years. He had a fake title shot. And he still has a very, very small amount of the following that I do, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, right? And part of the reason that happens is because it's so contrived. You can just tell, like, when Colby says stuff, you don't really, like, think, wow, that's unique, that's genuine. It's like, oh, okay, someone wrote those freaking lines for him. Mm-hmm. This guy's a dumb. He's literally trying to say, like the fact that he has to bring Trump into everything because everyone gets mad, either they love or hate Trump, right?
Right.
But he has to try to do that to draw interest. It's just such an obvious sign that people aren't really that into you.
Well, what he does is he plays into troll culture, and he's essentially a troll. And look, I also appreciate what Colby does because at the very least, he's fucking trying. I think there's a lot of guys who are complacent, you know, when the microphone.
He's trying. He's just not very good at it.
Right. I agree. I think he's executing he's trying to go for what guys like Connor and Bisping and Tito Ortiz have done before him.
And done naturally.
Yeah.
And done naturally and been very good at it. And he comes off as a tryhard. And that's something that I think people are having a hard time connecting with. I think you're right.
Hey, guys, I got to run. I got to take my kid up from school. I appreciate the interview. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good talking to you, man. Good luck against Robbie Lawler. And we're really happy you're in the UFC. And we're really happy we finally get to see you fight here, man. And good luck. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, take care, Ben.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a really good guy. I wanted to ask him, too, about the it was a good question. Was about if he had a relationship with Demetrius, but if he's got to take his kid somewhere.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? You tell Ben Askren what to do?
No, it's all good.
Yeah. Do you have a relationship with Demetrius? He's sitting in my kid's car seat right now, actually.
Robinhood is an investing app. Lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial service work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Robinhood is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You get to trade stocks and keep all your profits. Plus, with an easy-to-understand charts and market data, you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. That's great. You have a few minutes, you know, boom, just make a trade. We all have a little bit of time. Who has time to go home and do all this? You do this while you're, you know, we have a break or when you're in the bathroom, do what you do in the bathroom, make a few trades. What a great time to change your fortune. With Robinhood, you can learn by doing, which is something I particularly like. I like to learn by doing. It allows you to track your favorite companies with a personalized news feed. And with custom notifications for price movements, you never miss the right moment to invest. And now Robinhood is giving our listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at unfiltered.robinhood.com. That's unfiltered.robinhood.com. This way, Matt and I won't get fired.
You want to get... I think we could probably try Matt Serra. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about these Beijing fights.
And do our picks, yeah.
Yeah.
Beijing. I just know the main and co-main. In Beijing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just a 4-fight main card. We can go through, you know, a couple of the other... We just picked the main card anyway. But what did you think about... You can start talking about it. What about Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes for the second time?
Well, let's get Matt on because I have my feelings about it. I'm a big Francis Ngannou fan, but I'm not picking him.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he's fell off a little bit.
Lost his confidence.
Yeah, whatever it is. You know, you know, especially when you're that guy where you're a big, scary fucking knockout artist, if you're not willing to pull the trigger,
that's right.
It's an issue, you know? Well, and that's my concern with Chuck this weekend. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But it's like, you know... That's the thing. Those, you know, fractions of seconds make up a difference in this sport.
Yes.
When you're dealing with high level guys. And when that's your specialty, it's like jiu-jitsu guys, I think there's a little bit more room for error with jiu-jitsu and grappling. But if you're just a guy who's going in there and banging, dude, one fucking mistake, that's that.
One shot and you're finished. Yeah. And I think with Ngannou, I think he lost his confidence. Matt and I'm going to confirm this with Matt. We had heard that Francis didn't like to spar with heavyweights. I'd love to ask Francis this. The reason being, obviously, you can probably push around middleweights or light heavyweights a lot easier than other heavyweights. And I guess he liked to feel that power. That was what we had been told by a decent source. And after I heard that, which was before the Stipe fight, I was like, oof, that's not good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not fighting fucking middleweights or light heavyweights. You're fighting, you know, Stipe. Or you're fighting...
You have to fight guys that are better, you know, when... You hear about this, a thing in training camps. Guys will come in with, you know, they'll do five-minute rounds and then bring in a fresh partner every time. You know, we can connect with that. Like, I hang out with comedians that are better than me.
Sure.
I've never
Which is
hung
all
out
comedians.
With... pick one. Come on now. But I always have. I've always been, like, you know, I hung out with guys like Big J and Kurt and fucking, you know, Vecchione and Nate Bargatze. And I never hung out with the guys that were, like, in the open mics because the reality was these guys... you know, my standard for what was good comedy was higher, and I was striving to be better at comedy. And it's the same thing with that, with anything you do. You need to sort of be around people that are better than you and that are going to push you. You don't want to be a shark amongst fish. And it seems like that might be the case. And then as soon as he's swimming with sharks, then he looks lost.
Well, you don't want to, Matt?
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy, you're talking to your pal Jim and Lewis.
What up, Lewis?
What up, kid?
What up, Jimmy?
How's your trip, Matt?
Hey, Lewis, did you guys, Jimmy and Chris the producer, did you say congratulations to
We did not talk about... I've congratulated Lewis off when I've seen him at other times, but I have not on the air. No, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Listen to me. I don't think Lewis gives a shit about off the air. I think we should hit that applause button because he was
hilarious
in his MMA outing. And I don't know. I would have hit that applause button.
I just did,
but it was like three people applauding.
It was the longest.
One guy jerking off. Two guys applauding.
Hold on.
Hey, Lewis, how was your nerves, dude? You look totally comfortable. I seen your fight.
Oh, thanks, man.
You look totally comfortable walking out there. How did you feel?
There was no nerves with the fight. I was just in my head because I broke my hand the week before the fight. My shoulder was all fucked up.
You broke your hand? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, dude. And then Bisping was cornering me, and he wrapped my hand behind the scenes. And I kept on making him rewrap it because it was just hurting more and more than where he wrapped it. And you just saw the frustration because he's a real fighter. And he's like, mate, shut the fuck up about your hand. I'm sick of it. You're not going to feel it as soon as you step out there, so stop bitching about it.
Did you feel it, or was he right or
dude,
wrong?
Dude, it was... so painful. No, I'm kidding. I didn't feel it at all.
He was right.
No, he was right. I didn't feel anything at all. Like the nerves kick in and you kind of go out there and, you know, it's all on. You guys can watch it on YouTube or whatever. You know, it was a really, really cool experience.
What was different than you thought?
Yeah, the champ in your corner.
Yeah, which is a big deal. And I'll tell you right now, like he really did give me good advice. Like in the second round, we were both exhausted. So we both like coasted in the second round. But I was like landing an overhand right a couple times, and he goes, "Mate," he was like, "You're landing that overhand. If you just try to hit him with that overhand right, you're gonna fucking put him away. There's no doubt about this." So in the third round, I came out and I just kept on actually really trying to throw it that time, and I fucking landed it a bunch. I landed probably six or seven times in the third round. Won the fight decision. It was a great experience. It was a really, really cool experience.
Did he have you hurt at all?
He landed some leg kicks in the first round.
How bad are they?
They suck the day after.
Oh, okay.
During it, it's kind of what happens is you feel like you go, that's not supposed to be happening. That's all you think. It's not like you're like, oh my God, that's hurting so bad. You're going, I'm losing this exchange because he keeps on hitting me in my fucking leg, right? But yeah, I got a takedown in the first round and ground and pounded. It was cool. It's a barbaric, psychotic thing that you guys do, and I respect you guys for making that your lives. It's a lot, dude.
I would get knocked out very quickly.
I agree.
I know.
No.
All if I could find my chin.
Yo, Lewis, did you scrap a lot as a kid or no?
Kind of. Like, more than my friends, but, like, not the way that people actually scrap. You hear about, like, tough kids growing up who were into fights every weekend. It wasn't like that, you know? And to be honest with you, it's a really humbling experience because I thought I was tougher than I was before I started training, and then you train, and then you go like, oh shit, I know what real toughness is now. I'm not tough in the slightest bit, so even though I'm more skilled at fighting today than I was before I trained, I feel psychologically less confident than I did before I actually...
Because now you have a realistic view of how tough some guys really are.
I grappled with Michael Bisping the week before the fight, and it felt like a bear was on top of me. No, big homosexual was kissing me on the neck. It was really hot. Actually, he was breathing hard.
That's how I would beat up bullies. I'd hit their dick with my mouth when I was a bully.
Jimmy would.
They just tap out on the back of your head.
Kill him with kindness. Well, listen, hey, Lewis, let me tell you, because a lot of guys, even like truly like guys that are tough, like in the street, you take that same guy and you say he's fighting a guy in front of 50 people in a week or two. And the guy was probably got most. A lot of guys aren't showing up, so I give you a lot of credit for stepping in there, buddy.
Thank you very much, Matt. And it was a cool experience. I would consider doing it again. I got in shape. I weighed in at 202 pounds. I'm back up to about 235 again, very quickly.
How much did he weigh in?
like 187.
Oh, 15-pound difference.
Yeah. He was. Well, we had the weight. It was 205 was the weight limit.
Okay.
And
Jimmy just shit on your whole fucking thing, right? With that one sentence.
No, I did not at all. I was just, I didn't, I was just, that's a big difference. But it's not, Lewis is a bigger guy.
Fucking, You bully! He's calling you a bully. He's calling. No,
it only makes I think it makes a big difference if you guys are legitimate fighters who are. But it's like two guys. I don't think if I never went to a, I saw two guys fighting at a bar and I was like, oh dude, that guy's got 15 pounds on him. Ooh.
Yeah, heavyweights have sometimes 25 or 30 pounds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We want to do.
Yeah.
We
want to do being an asshole.
Yes, you are.
Let's go.
We just want to do picks too, Matt. We want to do them with you.
Oh, go listen, man. I'm excited about that. You think I'm calling just to tell you about my experience at fucking Disney?
Yes.
You're at Disney
I'll
again?
Tell you.
Yeah,
that's it. Louis. But that's it, man. This time of year, we overkill. Because I went to Disney once as a child. My grandparents took me when I was 3 years old. I don't even fucking remember it. That I overkill it with my kids. Because, you know, I hang out with Dana. I hang out with Jimmy. I can afford to take my kids to Disney. So, you know, I try to indulge.
It's just funny that I think I've seen, I've been on the show 3 times now where you've been in Disney. Yeah. So it's just a hilarious. Just imagine you with fucking Mickey Mouse ears on.
My wife's got one of those Fitbits or whatever it is, those fucking things. We're walking like 8 miles a day. That's how you know you're an old motherfucker. You're like, yo, I walked 8 miles.
On the roller coasters?
I'll tell you, Jimmy,
Matt, are you going on the roller coasters?
I am, man. I told you, my brother-in-law Edwin came out, and my sister-in-law, so we have a little bit more freedom because we outnumber the kids, you know?
Sure.
So I'm able to go on some shit. Listen, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, if I take, like a couple of edibles, dude, like, it's so good for my, it's good for my fucking tummy, Jimmy. Louis, it's good for my knee. Mm-hmm. Chris, the producer, I'm fan of life for Frozen in Glee, motherfucker. I'm having a good, listen to me, I'm having a good time at Disney.
That's good you're screaming
now,
motherfucker at Disney.
The world knows, the Unfiltered Army knows how much of a good time I'm having. But go ahead, what were you guys talking about?
Li Jinglong against David Zawada is the first fight. Fighting at welterweight.
Oh, Li Jinglong.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's an exciting fighter.
This is all, by the way, for the whole card is on Fight Pass. It starts at 3:15 Eastern Saturday morning, only on Fight Pass AM, and then the main card is 4 fights. That starts at 6:30 AM, but obviously it's on Fight Pass.
Oh, we'll all be watching this live.
Are we doing the picks for the whole card, or are we just doing the?
Yeah, we'll do the 4 main card fights.
All right, give me one more time that first fight.
Li Jinglong against David Zawada. What is Zawada's record?
David Zawada, he's 0-1 in the UFC. He had a split decision loss in his first fight.
Terrible. To Roberts, right?
Yes, and he's 16-4 overall, though.
And Lee is what?
He is 7-3 in the UFC. He's coming off a unanimous decision win, an impressive win, and he is 15-5 overall.
He's 15-5. Who was that you were just talking about?
That's Li Jinglong.
That is.
Who do you got,
I'm
going to
take Li Jing by decision. That's what I'm taking.
Okay. I am going to take a Li Jing by a third round stoppage.
Okay.
And you know what? I got no faith in Li Jing. I feel like Li Jing's best days are behind him. So I'm going to go with Zamata.
Zawada.
No, Zamata from SNL, the black chick.
Oh, okay.
She's going to come in, and she's going to actually take that dude's place, and she's going to win the fight.
There you go. I'm going to take Li Jinglong's second round knockout.
Okay.
Nobody's got any love for Zawada.
Yeah, it's just Li Jinglong's a real tough dude. I mean, obviously not a lot of travel for him. I mean, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with you. What do we got next?
Then a bantamweight fight between Song Yadong, who's 2-0 in the UFC, against Vince Morales, who's making his UFC debut. He's 8-2 overall.
Well, Song Yadong has got the funnier name, so.
He certainly does.
Yeah. Dude, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. If he gets hit low, is he going to go, yo, Song, how's your dong? Your guys are fucked up. Listen to me. You know, we're in this world today, you get in trouble for shit like that. I'm going. Jimmy, talk to me about each guy, please.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, sure. Well, Song Yadong's 2-0 in the UFC. He has a front choke win in his debut, and then elbow and punches, second-round knockout over Felipe Arantes. And then Vince Morales, again, this is his UFC debut, but he's 8-2, and he's coming off a decision win in his last fight.
Where, though, and who against?
That was in he actually, his last fight was in Bellator against Justin Hugo.
I'm going to
train with, bro? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Who, Vince Morales?
Yes.
Stop umming like you're thinking. He's fucking looking it up on the computer. I want to point that out right now for all the audio listeners out there. He's not thinking. He's Googling.
It says American Free Fight MMA. It seems like he trains out of Oregon, so I'm not really sure who the team is.
I'm going to take Song Yadong by decision.
Okay.
Oh, who's next?
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Song Yadong. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Come on now. All the shit that he's doing, high level.
Sure.
I can't pretend to know these people.
No.
Guys, there's too many fighters. I don't know Song Yadong.
I like that you tried it.
Most people don't know Song Yadong. I'm sure he's going to be a fucking phenom in the future. He's the next fucking Conor McGregor. I'm picking Song Yadong because his name is hilarious, and I think Jim actually watches this stuff.
Yep.
So I'm going to agree with Jim on this one.
I'm going to go actually with Song Yadong by second round KO. He is an exciting fighter, actually. So if people want to check him out, this is probably a good fight to watch.
Third round TKO. Yadong. He's taking it.
Okay. All right.
He's taking Yadong.
All right. Then the co-main event, a guy we're all familiar with, Alistair Overeem.
Sergey Pavlovich.
Oh, yeah. Pavlovich, yep. Alistair Overeem versus Sergey Pavlovich. Pavlovich is also making his UFC debut. He's 12-0, first-round knockouts.
Undefeated.
I watched a couple of his fights.
Out of Russia.
He has not fought, in my opinion, he's fought good, tough guys. He's not fought the level of guys that Overeem has fought. Overeem is coming off a loss to Curtis Blaydes, and before that, a loss to Ngannou, right? Is he two? Oh, no, he won. He's two out of three. You think he's lost?
No.
He's
two
in a row. He lost.
Oh, he has lost. Ngannou and Blaydes back.
But he lost against. He lost to the best of the best, and he only loses to the best of the best. Alistair Overeem is going to be the toughest test this guy's ever seen. Dude, Russians are tough as shit. It's so hard with an undefeated guy. It's nearly impossible to pick. We don't have enough data to really actually make a legitimate pick. So this is only a guess. Anybody who pretends they really fucking know, they don't have the data in front of you. It's like a math problem when you're missing a few of the numbers here. But I got to pick Alistair Overeem.
I am also taking Overeem because I think this guy has never faced legs like Overeem is going to use or knees the way Overeem is going to use them. And I think this guy is a good fighter. He's a good hard hitter. But I think Overeem is going to put him up against the cage and drive those giant fucking legs into his stomach. I'm taking Overeem in a first round knockout.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Overeem is due. After those last two fights, fucking Curtis Blaydes split his head open with his elbow, and Ngannou dropped. Was it first round or second round that uppercut destroyed Overeem?
I think it was right at the end of the first round.
Might have been.
Ngannou uppercut was the most brutal thing. It was like Hearns versus Tommy Morrison. He was
knocked out before his head went all the way back. He was finished.
It was crazy.
Guys, how old is Sergey
Pavlovich? I don't know, Chris. I'll guess 29.
Chris?
Yeah, hold on. I was pulling
off
it up,
the top of your head. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't have it loaded up there.
Obviously.
That's all right.
He is.
How many siblings does he have, Chris?
Yeah. He's 13 siblings? No, he's. it doesn't have his age and date of birth. I don't know.
There's a reasoning behind why I'm asking. Now, if he's a young dude under 30, 9-0, he hasn't
12-0.
Yes, he doesn't have these. Oh, he's 12-0.
Nine first round knockouts.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. That's the nine. All right, 12-0. If he's we didn't get the age on him.
I'm checking right now. It didn't have it where I was looking. It's not available.
That's all matter. All right, it's not available. But I know that Overeem's got the experience, and that's what we're all looking at. But that's the thing, man. I mean, he's got the he's got that experience, but he's been through some fucking. He took 35. Some punishment, man. He took some punishment, dude. I mean, I don't know that guy's. But the problem is when you get knocked out, and you get knocked out more than once.
Yep.
You go out that much quicker. It's that thing about losing your chin. That's real. You know what I mean? So even though I know he's got that experience going for him, I'm going to take a first-round knockout by Serge.
Okay.
I'll call him Serge.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you guys are close. I'm going to take I agree, Matt. I mean, that's the thing. I do agree with Jimmy that Overeem's striking is going to be the highest-level striking this guy's probably seen. But is he going to be able to get through the entire fight?
Get off the fence.
No, I'm going to pick. Is he going to be able to get through the whole fight without taking a shot from this guy who's knocked out, you know, 9 of his 12 opponents in the first round? So I'm going to take Pavlovich by second round knockout.
Overeem is going to crush this guy in the first round.
Give me a decision for Overeem. That's what I think it's going to be. I'm looking at him right now. This guy looks tough, but these are the guys that he's fighting. Look at the guys that he's fighting.
That's what we said before, yeah.
It's, you know, you got...
He's not fighting Ngannou or Curtis Blaydes or Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, and Overeem...
This guy's from Russia, no?
Yeah.
Who knows if he's not fucking wrestling bears? You don't know this guy. You don't know maybe what you think you know.
Oh, I do. Trust me. I've watched him train for weeks on end.
All I know is, could Louis J. please leave some of his sponsorship at the place for me, at the studio for when I get
back?
You
know what? Please? I have one. I have an extra one on me.
Could you hook up your friend that brings up your... You know, Jimmy and comedy, I don't know how long you guys know each other. I'm the guy, we get on air, I bring up your fucking victory.
Well, I saw Louis in person. And congratulated him.
Yeah, he actually gave me a hand job.
Give a fuck about that. Louis wants... Dude, he wants the fucking glory, man.
Okay.
It's true. I'm a badass.
I'm sorry.
I have some Smoked Honey, which is one of my sponsors. They have great products, marijuana distills. And I have an extra cartridge on me. I'll package up and everything, Maddie. And I'm going to leave it with Chris, your producer. And I'm going to hope that he doesn't try to smoke it, because I see it in his eyes.
You can just go to the store and buy it.
Not here.
Dude, look at his mug. That fucking, not his mug, his face, literally his mug, that fucking thermos, that hippie. He's going to take that shit for himself.
He's an untrustworthy piece of shit.
Put it in my stevia.
We'll see if it's here when you get here, but Louis is going to leave.
Yeah, shit.
All right.
You know, all right.
Main event.
I can't get sponsors like that. All right, what are we on?
Main event. Francis Ngannou, is he 12-2 now?
This is exciting.
Well, 14-2. What is he, Chris?
He's 11-3.
11-3. Sorry. Yeah. And Curtis Blaydes is 10-1. His one loss was to Ngannou, but it was a doctor stoppage because of his fucked up eye in the second round.
Between second and third, I believe. Right?
Yeah. But he was in that fight, and you know, I think Ngannou's confidence has gotten terrible because of that Stipe fight, and then against Derek Lewis, and I think that this fight Ngannou is less confident, and Blaydes has already fought him and taken what he has to offer. And Ngannou knows he could not put Curtis Blaydes away in two rounds. So I am going to take Curtis Blaydes, second round, TKO.
Wow. All right.
If you look at this poster, it really looks like a poster at a black barbershop. Their hair is so nicely trimmed up, both of them.
They are. Yes. Curtis's beard looks really good.
It does. It really does. They both have nice fades and fucking designs. I mean, I think I kind of agree with you, Jim. And to be honest with you, I think it's a better story. You get a third fight out of it, you know. That'll be sort of what Ngannou... It's almost better for Ngannou to lose this fight than to have a shitty victory over Curtis Blaydes. Because at the very least, if Blaydes wins this fight, you set up a third fight that always has huge interest, a rubber match. There's value there and there's a story there. And I almost feel like the story of Ngannou being a big, scary dude with crazy knockout power who just all of a sudden started playing it safe. That story fucking sucks.
Yeah. But Blaydes is a wrestler, and Ngannou had a hard time against Stipe, who was able to press him down. Derek Lewis wasn't much of a threat to take him down. But I think if Curtis can get him on the ground, I think Francis is in trouble, because his grappling, I think, is the worst part of his game by far. So what do you think?
Well, let me interject if you get a chance.
Sure, buddy.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, what do you
know why I'm? I see it's weird by phone. I don't know how fucking Lewis does this shit with this thing, because they do it like they're in studio. They're not in studio, and you know me, I'm a fucking blabbermouth. I'm a chatty caddy sometimes.
Kathy.
So it's weird. I'm sitting here looking at the Hulk roller coaster, waiting to chime in. I have a story too. My story is about a fair weather fan named Jimmy. Jimmy, fair weather fan. Boo.
Hey, what am I supposed to do?
If I was fighting and you were a fan of mine, I would fucking hate you, because I knew the second I lost, it'd be bye bye, Jimmy. He's never doing a.
What am I, a fucking girl? I'm going to stand there and cheer with a pom pom for the man with big muscles? He wants two fights in a row.
Who wants to cheer for a loser? I'm with Jim, actually.
It's harder for me to root against the guy I like. I'm not rooting against him, but I just think that's what's going to happen.
Jimmy, let me tell you a story, Jimmy. Right. It's about a fan. A fan that loved this guy named Ngannou. What do they mean?
Ngannou.
Okay, good. I got it right. Dude, Jimmy, you were so high on this guy. You are high on
yes,
this guy.
I still like him
very
much.
He lost a couple of fights, and you lost your faith in him.
Yes, I did, because he lost the Derek Lewis fight by not throwing punches. And he was, and he admitted he didn't have confidence. And we've also, by the way, Matt, since I've heard that, we heard that he doesn't train with heavyweights. He trains with middle and light heavyweights. So I lost a little bit when I heard that, too, because he's going in there and he wants to feel bigger and stronger instead of fighting guys.
Right.
And it paid off.
Right.
And we saw what happened against Stipe, who fought a brilliant fight. And then we saw what happened against Derek Lewis when his confidence was lost. So, look, I like Francis Ngannou. I love his story. But I think Curtis Blaydes is more dangerous right now.
You see that emotion you got right there? Jimmy, I'm sorry. Jimmy, I love you. Listen to me. Jimmy, yes. I love you. I know that I just like to, I like to make it a little spicy sometimes.
Yeah, I understand.
All right?
You know, but yeah, I will say this.
Go get your fucking shine box, will you please? I'm only kidding. Jimmy! Jimmy! I love you, Jimmy. I do. And listen to me. I like Francis a lot.
Yeah.
And I hope he gets over this mental fucking thing in his brain.
Sure.
But I like Curtis. I like Curtis a lot. He's got the most take. What is his record? He has the record for like the most takedowns. What is his record for takedowns? He's either tied or he has the most in UFC. In the UFC, I don't know about history, but in his division,
in the heavyweight
Chris
division, I think he has the most in the heavyweight division. Who? I mean, maybe Kane would be second.
Does Chris the Producer? Does he have these stats?
He's checking.
Yeah, I'm
now.
Pulling it up right now. Hold on.
Okay,
said, yeah, it says Curtis Blaydes vows to break heavyweight record in UFC Beijing fight with Francis Ngannou. He had, he's one takedown behind Kane, who has 34.
Oh, wow.
And Curtis has 33.
This is what I want to talk about. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's something to think about. But plus, he's got the confidence. The confidence, that's the major difference in this fight, even more so than that. More as important as any of their fighting skills. Is the mentality. When he first met him, he hasn't lost Francis.
Right.
He didn't know how to lose. He knows how to lose now, you know? So I don't know. I'm going with Curtis. I think I'll say Curtis by decision because I think Francis, he's shown that he does hang in there like he did with Stipe. Could he put him out of there? Oh, wait a second. This is five rounds, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I talking about? Okay. Fourth round stoppage by Curtis. That's what I said it. And I stand by it.
I also think Curtis against DC. Again, DC will probably never fight Curtis, but it depends on how Brock does in his testing and what Jones does against Gustafson. But I think that Curtis DC is a really good fight, a much better fight than DC Ngannou. I don't think Ngannou gets a title shot anytime soon, but I think DC mauls Ngannou because he takes him down, and I think there's nothing Ngannou
can do. I
think
also DC mauls Blaydes as well. He's just, you know.
Not as easily because he's such a good wrestler. Yeah. He might maul him, but he's such a good wrestler.
Yeah, but nobody's as good as DC. DC is so good that, you know, I just don't see Blaydes, who, obviously really, really good grappler, really good wrestler. I think it, more than anything else, probably cancels each other out. And we've seen Cormier. He's got really great boxing, really knocks people out. Been fought at heavyweight the whole beginning of his career. People forget that he started at heavyweight, went 10-0 at heavyweight before he dropped to light heavy. And he never really had problems with anybody. He was dominating people. He won that Strikeforce tournament as an alternate. Nobody knew who the fuck he was. Yeah. And he came in and won it. And it was like, holy shit, this guy was just dominating everybody. So I don't think anybody beats Daniel Cormier except for Jon Jones, to be honest.
Maybe, yeah. All right, Matt. We should.
Oh well, I was just gonna say. So, Matt, I was gonna say you were taking Blaydes by decision. Then you changed it because it's five rounds. I actually have Blaydes winning a decision. I think he is just gonna wrestle. I think Francis is gonna get tired out, like we saw against. I think he just used the Stipe model to beat him, and I think that's what he's gonna do.
All right. Well, I have second round.
What did Jimmy say again?
Second round TKO, because I think he's gonna take Ngannou down, and I think he's gonna do very well. I think Ngannou on the ground is ineffective. It's not that I don't think he's tough. I think he's lost his confidence standing up, and against Derek Lewis showed that. And I think that on the ground, he's very vulnerable.
Well, it's very exciting. I'll be watching. And, hey, man, I'll be back next week, guys. And sorry about being a little insane. Listen, 10, 12 days at a fucking theme park, so you make anybody fucking insane.
It's a little much.
You know what I mean? I was serious. Lewis, Jake, leave some shit for me, please.
Oh, I really will, my brother. I really appreciate it. And Maddie,
right,
we love you.
Congrats again, man. Congrats again. That was awesome.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
All right. Later, guys.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Later, guys. Chris, the producer. I'll talk to you soon. Jimmy, love
Sounds
you,
good.
Jimmy.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your trip. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, man. You too, dude. Take care. Bye-bye.
He's the fucking best.
Who do you take now in the main event?
I think I'm going to go Blades. I think probably get a later stoppage. I agree with Matt, just because Ngannou going five rounds, I mean, just having a guy on top of you, eventually will probably break. But
Right. Either
late fourth, fifth round stoppage or a decision, you know. I don't know. I'm going to watch the replay of this, guys. I can't get up at 6:30 in the morning. That's fucking crazy.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Lewis. This was great. I'm going to pee my pants. We have not taken a break. Thanks to Ben Askren, too. It was good talking to him.
Yeah.
And where are you going to be performing in Houston on Friday?
It'll be the Secret Group Friday night, this Friday night, the 23rd, Black Friday in Houston. Myself, my girlfriend Kim Congdon is coming to open up for me, and it's going to be a really, really great show. The Legion of Skanks fans come out in droves down there. And then I got a few more dates. Louis J. Gomez presents Louis J. Gomez. .com is the website. I'm filming a special, Louis J. Gomez Presents Louis J. Gomez, on December 9th, but I'll be in Portland next week. I will be in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Denver to close out the tour. And Infinite CBD is a sponsor for the tour, which is great. So we're giving out free CBD samples on the whole tour. And it's just fun. And I'll leave some with you guys as well, in fact. They have a really, really great company. If you guys can go to Louis J. Gomez Presents Louis J. Gomez.com, grab tickets for any of those dates. And if you're in New York City, come and see me film my special, because I'm very excited. It's my first time ever doing
an hour. Good for you, buddy. I'll be at Caroline's Friday, Saturday. Chip Chipperson Podcast, December 7th in Philadelphia. Hope you're having a nice Thanksgiving, and we'll see you in a few days. Goodbye. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast. It's Not My Business.